John Allen. John's son, John, was killed in 2003 by the UVF. John, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
What's your reaction to this?
Stephen, I don't find this very easy. You just maybe bear with me. It's not easy listening to this here. And I'm listening to David McNary there. Now, I left school at 15 with no education, so I maybe can't debate with David McNary. But anyway, he says about the Loyalist ceasefire, and he's been sitting down with these people. And you went back there and said, over the last maybe few years, let me take you back to the last 24 hours when a family in Carrickfergus was put out of their home, and an eight-year-old child was terrified. And the PSNI says that paramilitaries were involved. Now, that's 24 hours ago, Stephen. My goodness. And then the very next day, you get people sitting in the Park Avenue Hotel saying that the war's over.
And those people in the Park Avenue Hotel would, of course, say they had nothing to do with that, and they could condemn what had happened.
Okay, but is this what they're going to say no matter what happens? You know, no matter what happens, they're going to say nothing to do with us? But, you know, let me tell you a thing. The UVF murdered my son on the 8th of November, 2003. In another 26 days, it'll be 12 years. I find it very difficult to take on board what these people are saying. They were 9 years into a ceasefire. The Gusty Spence announced the ceasefire in 1994. 9 years after that, they murdered my son. You know, so what will have changed now? How can I trust these people now? Now, saying that, I was very bitter. And you hear me saying there, I was. I must have mellowed. And I would like, for the sake of the future, I come from a Loyalist area. I was born and reared, and I live in the same house as I've always lived in a Loyalist area. The vast majority of people in my area thinks this is all about money. Gosh, I hope they're wrong. I hope they can prove me wrong. And I would just like to say to Jackie McDonald, Billy Hutchison, and Ken Wilkerson, who I happened to notice last night at the Park Avenue Hotel, there were just faces that I could put names to. There's others there I can't put names to. But those are faces that I can put names to. And I would just like to say, please, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong that you have changed and things is going to be different. And I'd be happy. I can forgive and move on. But I need to be proved wrong here. And I really hope I can.
How was your son killed? Did they shoot him?
They shot him in the head, yeah. They shot him in the head and he's flat.
I say they, this is the UVF.
The UVF. John was 31 years old, and I have to say this, Stephen, he was the best son any man could ask for. I miss him every day. It's not getting any easier, but I'm prepared to move on and I'm prepared to forgive. Let me see the changes. For the future, I have other children here. I have grandchildren. For their future, please.
Has anyone ever been prosecuted and convicted of your son's crime?
There has been arrests, Stephen, but no convictions. No convictions.
Do you think you'll ever get justice?
Not in this world, but I will get justice. Not in this world, but there will be justice. There has to be. And that's what keeps me going. I pray every night for justice, but I don't think I'll get it in this world. Because there's too much going on here.
You know, I guess some people would want to be optimistic today. They would want to trust that this is a game changer, that these loyalist paramilitaries will never engage in violence again. What you're saying, John, is there was a ceasefire, 1994, and your son was shot in the head in 2003.
That's right, 9 years after the ceasefire, after Gusty Spence made the declaration before, now we have it again. Now, of course you're sceptical. I'm sceptical, but I'm prepared to give it a chance here. I'm prepared to give it a chance for the sake of my grandchildren and for the sake of... I'm not the only one who's gone through this, Stephen. There's thousands of people in Northern Ireland who's gone through the same thing here with paramilitary involvement on both sides. I must say that, on both sides. And sometimes maybe from these loyalists can see other paramilitaries or Republican terrorists sitting up and storming, they maybe, you know, it's maybe not easy to take. So, as I say, I live in a loyalist area. It's not easy to see terrorists sitting in government either. But we have to move on and forgive and move on.
John, very powerful this morning. Thank you. Jude White's mother, Peggy, was murdered in 1984. Morning to you, Jude.
Morning.
By loyalist paramilitaries, your mother was murdered, Jude. What's your reaction today?
Well, I feel nearly, I mean, it's very hard to follow a contributor like the speaker. I mean, you can feel the hurt in his voice. You can touch the savagery that has wrecked his life, but still in his heart, he has this ability to try and contextualize and understand that yesterday's move was a move in the right direction. I addressed the Progressive Unionist Party conference last Saturday in Bangor, and I was very touched by the sincerity of everybody I met. And that wasn't just the leaders, it was the delegates, the councillors, and this unstoppable move towards politics and towards democratic politics. And I'm very, very mindful, increasingly on radio, of what I say. And this morning, you know, my thoughts are with Lochan Island, with the Miami Show Band, with McGurk's Bar, with atrocities that I can articulate to 12 o'clock today. But I welcome what happened yesterday, and I believe that they are sincere in what they're trying to do.
What do you say to those who say, we've heard it all before, empty words? Once bitten, twice shy.
I mean, I do accept that there is doubt, and I accept there's misunderstanding, and I accept the reality that loyalism is not like republicanism. It is a fractured group of people, a very diverse group of people. The broad Republican family is a much more disciplined family, and even with its discipline, it still took Sinn Féin many years of preparation to set the scene for a ceasefire. There is no... the proof of the pudding will be very simple, Stephen. The last loyalist bullet has been fired. The last kneecapping is over. The last robbery has been done. The last person put out of their house, it is over. This is the first day of the new beginning.
We've just had our last caller, John, say that there were people put out of a home last night, 24 hours ago, by loyalist paramilitaries. Now, I don't have the facts behind that, but that's what he said. We'll check with the police right now, actually, if they believe there were any loyalist connection, paramilitary connections to what John referred to last night. But if that were the case, then it's farcical.
If that were the case, I am a fool, a complete and utter fool, a naive fool who should never be on a radio station again. If that were the case, and indeed if it is the case, it's goodbye to me forever. I'm not a fool. I have to look at people straight in the eye and make an assessment. Are they sincere? And I believe that they are sincere. Certainly the people I met last Saturday. And I mean, you and I know how careful one has to be when attributing an organisation to an act. And if indeed mainstream loyalists, as in the UVF or the UDA, were responsible for that incident last night, it puts this thing on a very, very shaky footing. I mean,
What we'll do is just to get the facts before we start jumping the gun.
Yes, indeed.
And you'll agree with this.
Yeah.
What we will do is the Nolan Show will contact the police right now, and we will see what the official PSNI assessment is of this incident last night. But Jude, there's another conundrum in this, and it is, what about those people who just shrug their shoulders? They are sceptics. Because when there is crime on the streets of Northern Ireland undertaken by loyalist paramilitaries, then the hierarchy of those organisations say it was nothing to do with them. It must be rogue elements. We've heard all of this before too, haven't we? So how do we know?
Yes.
How do we know if it's rogue elements or it's paramilitaries using the cover of rogue elements to continue to extort and kill and maim?
Well, I mean, I suspect you and I, as ordinary members of the public, will never know that, and you will rely on a police assessment. But after yesterday, the loyalist hierarchy are going to look absolutely ridiculous. If anything, they can be connected with anything. And I do not believe that they would willingly allow their organisation and their organisation's names after yesterday to be dragged into this mire. But the context is, Stephen, loyalism is not a disciplined subculture. There are elements within it, for example, in East Antrim and parts of East Belfast, that I suspect are out of the control of the hierarchy. But the context of that step yesterday, that step is that from here on in, the PSNI, the police deal, the criminal justice deals with breaches of the law. There, and the proof of the pudding has to be that if indeed there is any further violence, that they outrightly, totally and unequivocally condemn this. I mean, I do understand...
But they've been doing that anyway.
I accept that since the ceasefires, these organisations have been responsible for the death of 50 people, overwhelmingly within the loyalist community. I want the proof, and the proof is that the last bullet has been fired. The last knee-clapping is over. It is over, yeah. And if there is one breach of that, if there is one breach of that, you can fool me once, shame on me, but if you fool me twice, shame on you.
But Jude, here's the difficulty for those loyalist senior paramilitary figures, okay, who now have given an undertaking yesterday. That's it. It's over. We will not fire any more bullets. We will not be engaged in any more criminality. How do they enforce that in their own community? Because the way they've enforced it up to now, many people would argue, is through fear that they've got control of their community. So therefore, you know, there will be so-called community justice. There will be punishment beatings. You will get beaten up if you don't toe the line. The UVF, the UDA, the Red Hat Commando, they've got authority because at the end of the day, they'll go out and they'll beat you up or they'll drive you out of the area if you don't toe the line. So if they're not engaged in any criminality anymore, where's their teeth? How are they going to enforce their edict?
Well, maybe their teeth is to do what the rest of us normal citizens do, and that is phone the police service of Northern Ireland to investigate crime. These people thought this out. McNairy is no fool either. This was 18 months in the making. They have obviously consulted, what I read in the press, are thousands of their members. I mean, it would shock me that there were thousands of their members, and people clearly have had a long, detailed conversation before putting this into the public domain. They must be able and they must know that they have the vast bulk of the loyalist community with them before they put this statement out. Now, that is not to say in any way that there will not be elements who will probably, I mean, I suspect some of these leaders are under more threat from loyalism, elements within loyalism this morning than they were yesterday. But, I mean, we have got to try and bring these people in from the cold, to try and encourage them to behave the only way a civilised society can behave. There is only one law. There's only one guy in charge of law, and that's George. Nobody else. And we pay him handsomely to do this job. And that's the only way that this society can go forward. And I'm very mindful, Stephen, as I said to you, I always feel the need to say this again. I am very mindful of your previous speaker, very touched by him. And I'm very, very mindful of Loughrin Island and numerous atrocities that there was no need for this whatsoever.
So do you agree with Jonathan Powell that these groups should not disband?
I agree. I mean, the logic of what he's saying is that he does. I mean, the reason he doesn't want them to disband is that somebody else may take the name. They certainly need to disband their violence and decommission totally, absolutely and forever and publicly all their weapons.
Let's just remind ourselves what Jonathan Powell said.
This is an important step which will, I hope, contribute to the government's commendable efforts to reach a more general settlement on the issue of paramilitarism and to ensure the full restoration of the institutions. Some may argue that these organisations should just disappear, but experience from around the world suggests that would be a mistake. Other violent groups would simply take over the names UVF, UDA and Red Hand Commando and carry on with paramilitarism. We really don't want to see a real UVF and a continuity UDA. It's far better the groups continue, but there is no criminality, there is no violence. They continue in a civil fashion. Given all that has happened, people will naturally be cynical and say they've heard it all before. And it's true that the real test will be in how these undertakings are implemented in practice and on the ground, rather than just today's statement.
Let me say thank you to Jude White this morning.